Welcome, folks, to Life in the Gray with Spencer Riley and my co-host Tanner Tate, except Tanner Tate sucks and he decided to dip out on recording again. It's okay. I just want him to be better. But luckily, Ruby was available, as she is most days.
Wow.
For podcasts, that is. she just cancels her plans for podcasts.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. Doesn't matter if her, you know, nephew's getting born. No. We need to talk about podcasts.
Skip that shit.
We need to do a podcast. No, fuck those kids. Don't actually. That's how the bad stuff starts to happen.
Shit.
I actually did a bunch of Epstein didn't kill himself memes on Twitter that I'm really proud of.
Did you know?
Yeah, because I had a picture of Epstein and Clinton together, and it was an actual picture. It was just like, just two men living in the moment, not a phone in sight. Don't you wish you could go back to the good old days?
Oh,
which I really like one of those.
Oh, Jesus. You're hardcore, Spencer.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, that thank you for your picture that you sent me. I was wishing that I had a boyfriend who would invasively take my phone and look through my text messages so that he would see that Joe Rogan had sent me Shrek porn. And then he could ask me about that, and so, I could say, first of all, that's not Joe Rogan, that's Spencer, my little brother. And then he could be like, your little brother sends you Shrek porn, and I could be like, yes.
Well, here's the thing. I decided to start off my days, or just, like, whenever I get around to it, with a, like, basically a little motivational picture, you know, motivational saying, you know, like, hey, go do this Monday, take this Monday for yourself, you fuck, you
sure,
know?
Sure.
Like, you know, like, trying to, like, be intense but motivational.
Right, of course.
And so I did, I've done it for the past couple days to, like, Tanner, and then I did it to one of my friend Bex. She'll be on the roast, probably.
Okay.
And then I was like, you know what? Ruby would love these. So I started texting them to you.
Yep.
It was a good time.
And so what was the supposed to be the motivational aspect behind Shrek porn?
I don't know. But I was just like, you know what? This will wake you right up, you know?
It did.
This will wake you up. You watch that and you're just like, why is Fiona dethroning Shrek right now?
Yep.
And why is it so badly animated?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. But hey, happy fucking Wednesday.
Yep,
all right? Happy fucking
Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, it was a good time. I was going to send it to Curtis, but I don't, we're not that good of friends
yet. You're not that good of, you weren't sure how he would respond to Shrek porn.
Well, it's not real Shrek porn, you know.
Oh, what's real
There's
Shrek
no
porn
penetrate.
Then?
Okay.
Oh,
I got
God.
Some links for you that would
okay.
be excellent.
All right. I see how invested you are in this.
Well, I just need access to really fucked up shit within a moment's notice.
Learn new things about you every day.
You can say you want to. Okay. So when I called you to ask to see if you'd like to do the podcast, you just said you had a revelation.
Yeah.
And so
that is true.
Here's the thing. Usually revelations are like, hey, you need to start your own church, then you need to move to a really like barren wasteland, and then marry as many wives as you want. But I'm not sure if this is one of those revelations.
No.
So, I'm trying
not
to figure
like
out.
That. It
not
is
like
not
that
like
kind of revelation.
That.
So, you're not going to start your own cult?
No, but I can take you to where it started, right?
Okay.
Where
a cult
this.
Started?
Sicily, 1983.
Sicily, okay.
No, that was a Golden Girl reference.
Oh.
Okay. Just kidding.
Well, luckily, I don't watch the Golden Girls.
Ah, you suck.
I'm glad we agree.
Okay, so I was at work.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the game room meditating.
Okay.
And then I happen upon my two coworkers who are having a freestyle rap battle over lo-fi beats.
Okay, that's... I thought you were going to say you were hearing them fuck in the break room.
No.
And that would have been so much better than what I just heard.
It was really cool. It was
really?
Like,
okay.
They were good. They were really good. I thought that they had memorized a rap song that I had never heard before. But
okay.
It turns out they were just freestyling. And I was like, oh my God. And then they're like, do you want to join in? And I was like, no. Because fuck that. I'm not going to embarrass myself. But then I was like, you know what? This scares me, so I'm gonna do it. So then I joined in, and then I joined in a second time as well. And
ooh,
then
second time.
And then because my heart was pumping and the adrenaline was going, I sat down, and then this problem I've been thinking about for 3 months suddenly became clear as day.
Okay, so what is this problem?
Okay, so been hung up on this person and something that happened with this person. Okay. And every time I feel like it's gone away, I've solved it, it comes fucking back up. And I'm just like, what do I have to do to get this bitch to go away? Like, what do I have to do?
Understandable. Why am I so... Did you find a like solution to this problem? Because I would probably...
Yes!
I need that solution because...
I found my
solution. I still
have
a crush from high school that I'm just like, I'm pretty sure if she goes up to me and is like, hey, do you want to go on a date? I would like cancel all plans for her.
Yep.
I would be getting on the plane to go to New York.
Yeah.
And she could just show up. She's like, hey, do you want to get coffee? And I'm just like, looks like I'm living in Utah for the rest of my life. Like, that's how that would go.
I know exactly how that is. So the theory... It is called the artificial, self-created scarcity theory.
Okay, so you're gonna need to work on the name of it. Just a little bit, you know? Like, don't say, like, the butt-fucking theory, because that's a little too out there. But, like, if you wanted to do, like, maybe just the crush theory, or... You know, the...
Well, it's not just about romance.
Unrequited love theory.
It's not just about romance. It could apply to anything.
Unrequited attention theory.
It could be even broader than that.
Even broader than
yes,
that.
Yes,
okay.
It's extremely
broad. So we're talking
broad.
About my exes now. Heard. Okay, so anyway, keep on going.
Okay. So I will just read what I wrote down, and then we'll see if it makes any fucking sense. Because it might not. It might not make sense. It might... Oh, there you go. Thank you. Okay. This is what I wrote. Scarcity will create intensity. So if you perceive that a resource is scarce, when you obtain that, it will increase the level of importance in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of what we believe to be scarce really is. And so whatever we believe, also known as a confirmation bias. So if we believe that something is scarce, the mind becomes a machine which feeds itself. To break free of this paralyzing grip, we must prove to ourselves that the resource in question is not scarce. The first step on this task is to be open to the idea that your belief of scarcity could be wrong. Almost always, if your mind just keeps thinking on the same event over and over again, which you enjoyed, it is a sign that you desire more of this particular thing. We want to recreate that moment that we remember, but that is impossible. Ultimately, you must figure out, why does this moment stand out to me? What resource did I have in this moment that I perceive as scarce? And there lies your answer. You will never recapture your past, but you can identify what made the past enjoyable and chase that. Not the person, not the circumstance, but what you obtained. Intimacy, for example. Clarity of mind. These things I have chased, trying to recreate a moment, only accepting the resource in the same form I first discovered it in, implying it is scarce when really I can find it many ways if I'm open to the possibilities and not it not being exactly the same way that I received it the first time.
Okay, I'm going to be honest, I got lost.
You got lost? Okay,
but
what do you understand and not understand?
Well, I think I agree.
Okay.
Because, like, I was kind of zoning in and out real quick. Just because, like, I was just like, okay, Ruby's talking. What is she talking about? I don't know what she's talking about. What's going on right now? And then I'm like, oh, did I leave the stove on? You didn't even cook today, Spencer. All right. Did you? I showered today. Yeah, you showered twice. And I'm just like, cool. And all of a sudden, what did you think? I'm like, fuck.
Okay.
But,
so what do you think that you understood? And then we
so it's
discussion.
Just the whole thing is, like, you value something because you think it's scarce.
Right.
So I And romantically, that makes sense. You know, like, there's only so many good people, and it's really hard to find a good person. So as soon as you find a good person, you try to, like, get them as much as possible. But then usually you scare them away, you know, and all that type of stuff.
Right.
So I get that, but you need to prove to yourself that it's not scarce anymore. You know, there are good people, there are all that stuff.
Yes.
But what you were saying that I liked is when you get a good feeling and you constantly try to, like... find that good feeling again by recreating your good feeling, like the situation where you got your good feeling.
Yes, and like that's the thing is that because like for me, if I remember, like I can give you an example with acid, because this is not just with relationships. Because I talked about for clarity of mind, like that's something I've been chasing because like I need direction, I need to like, and when the first time that I took acid, it completely changed my life. Like, at the end of July, or the end of June, I knew what path I needed to take. That's when I started making all these changes in my life. And so, like, then, consequently, when I've dropped again, I was, like, wanting that same experience. And it was a good experience, but it didn't change my life. And it was really disappointing. And then I realized, like, okay, well, I just need to find experiences that give me clarity of mind. Like, it doesn't only have to be acid. It could be anything. What experiences are going to show me clarity of mind? How can I find that?
Okay, so you're searching the feeling rather than the thing that brought you the feeling to begin with.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where I got so hung up with. That's why I get into these weird loops of, like, about a person, because I'm like, you brought me this, you brought me this. But that's, I don't want you, I want that thing.
Well, yeah, so, like, you don't, but here's the thing, like, no one really knows the persons that they, like, if, let's say you love this person, you don't really know that person.
Yeah.
All right? You don't know every in and out of them, but you like the security they provide, or you like the comfort that they provide. You know, like, sometimes, like, if a man hugs a woman, she feels safe, and so she wants to keep that feeling around. That's why women usually like taller and larger men.
Sure.
Because that means they can provide, because they can, like, hold you. You know, like, well, not just hold you, but they can protect you, you know? And so, I see that.
Yeah. What are you going to poke holes in my theory?
Am I going to poke holes in
my theory? I was waiting, because I don't know. Whenever I tell people stuff, they just argue with me, and I'm like, all right.
Here's the thing, I don't want to, like, poke holes in your theory, because I don't necessarily disagree with it. I don't think anyone really disagrees with that theory.
Well,
I don't even know if it's a theory. I think it's just, I think that's just a fact.
Yeah. Because,
like, if you says the only way you will be happy if you're constantly trying to find this, then we could argue that.
Yeah.
But if you just say you don't always have to get your happiness from the same thing, and you could be searching for a feeling rather than an actual object, which that's some profound shit, and I'm sure that's not, like, a new way of thinking. I think that's just a way of thinking that a lot of people don't realize anymore.
Right, and I think it's, like, for, like, even if I heard this in the past, like, for me, I have to personally realize it all of a sudden. Like, it just clicks in my head, and then I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, all right.
Like,
that's the new framework.
All right, well, that's what we're doing now. Sweet. No, it is interesting when you are kind of, like, meditating or just thinking about a problem.
Yeah.
And it just takes a little way of a different perspective, and it completely changes your entire way of thinking. And, like, usually if I'm ever getting in a kind of a dark spot in my head or just kind of having a rough day, if I get a little bit of a change of perspective, not a huge one, like, not a 180, but, like, just a little bit different perspective, I can see things through a different lens. That's why it's important to have, like, a true north, or, like, a person that you constantly bounce ideas off of. Because there's that whole, like, phrase, faster alone, further together. And I completely agree with that. If you want to get to a place by yourself super quickly, you can, but there's certain places you can't get on your own. That's why people can rely on a god.
Yeah.
Because that means that they are helped through that god. That god helps them achieve things that they wouldn't be able to achieve anywhere else. But some people, someone else's god is just their person that they spend a lot of time with. Then you both can, like, do something amazing together. Like, Tom Segura and, like, Christina, like, his wife, they have a great podcast together, and I'm pretty sure neither of their comedy careers would be doing as well as they're doing now without each other. And they've said that over and over again.
Yeah.
And, like, usually when you do the best things of your career, it's usually when you have someone with you to share that with, but it also to help you become what that needs to become.
It's really interesting that you say that, because it's like,
by the way, this isn't going to be a funny podcast.
It's never funny when I'm on, you guys. I'm a comedian, but I'm not funny.
Well, you remind me a little bit of Duncan Trussell. You know who he is?
No.
He's like a Buddhist comedian, and he's great. But every one time he's on Rogan, they just get super high, and then they just talk about philosophy and finding your true self and all that. And I'm just like, nice. Anyway. Keep going.
Oh, what I was going to say is that the funny thing that's interesting about this realization is that it actually had nothing to do with meditating. Like, I meditate every single day at the same time. The reason this realization occurred is because those guys were doing that rap battle.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that I forget this all the fucking time. Whenever I'm struggling with something, the only solution for my problem is to do something totally different. Something that's outside of my comfort zone, something I've never done, something that's scary, that's weird, that's like, what? Like, that's the only way out of the hole. And yeah. I never do it because I already feel like, crap, I don't want to do something that's scary, that's weird and different that I've never done before.
Yeah.
But what happens, I guess, I can't really explain it, but it gets my mind thinking in a different way.
Yeah, and so your brain's then trying just
kind
to
of
adapt.
Like what you're saying, for you, you talk to other people. For me, it's like an experience. I have to do something. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, shit, there's yeah, the just, answer.
Your brain likes to form pathways. Because here's the thing, if you can legit do the same thing over and over again, you wouldn't have to think at all.
Yeah.
Because your brain is so used to doing it.
Brain chunking.
Brain chunking, yeah. It's just you're in just a muscle memory, all right? There's no thought process going on. You're kind of just there, but you don't remember anything. There's nothing remarkable happens. But when you do remember something, it's because something went differently than it usually does. That's when your brain needs to constantly adapt. It could be with you, you're... mental clarity.
Yes.
Is actually your brain in panic mode.
Yes. It's exactly
because you're
what
trying
it is.
To adapt to something. And if you're able to adapt to something, you look at ways to solve it.
Yeah.
And I'm similar. Like, sometimes I can see a problem and I'm just like, well, that's just a problem. And then I talk to someone else and they're just like, and then just the way they relay the problem back to me, they don't even have to offer a solution. I was like, oh, this person's really rude. I was just like, they're like, oh, okay. So, you're at work, and this person said something to you, and you responded back to them like that. And I was just like, yeah. And I was like, crap, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just because you're so used to your own way of thinking that you don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
So, that's why toxic behaviors can be so unnoticed, especially with you, and if you're in a relationship that is pretty toxic or abusive, you don't realize it's abusive until you get out of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree with it. And what you're saying is scientifically, like, I can put the scientific language down because I read this book about, because I'm really into neurochemistry and neuroplasticity and, like, all that stuff. And, like, the thing with the brain, with actions that you do, like driving. Driving is a great example. You're not really thinking about everything you're doing when you're driving.
Yeah.
It just kind of becomes a single motion. And what happens is because you do it repetitively, the neural pathways in your brain, they get chunked together. So it's all the same thing in
that's
your brain. It's one
here.
Action,
yeah.
Right? That's muscle memory, the same thing. And so it makes sense then that if you do something that requires you create the new neural pathways, you don't have that memorized, that would get you thinking differently. So,
yeah, so your brain has to be constantly creating new neural pathways in your brain. And with you, that means creating something or being in a new situation entirely. That's why writing is really therapeutic for a lot of people, is because they're creating something new. Their brain hasn't been to this part of their brain before.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't found this part of themselves. Every time I write a bit, I find a new part of myself.
Yeah.
Which is why if I ever do stand-up comedy, please shoot me. Because you know I'm not going to be creating still.
And I had talked to Zach about all this stuff last week, which was really helpful because Zach is the best listener ever.
No, he's great. I just keep, like, joking like I don't remember.
No, because all he did was he listened to my problem and he was like, yeah, that sucks. And then he was like, here's similar situations I've been in that are exactly the situation you're talking about. And then he changed the topic. That was it. And it was amazing. I was like, yes.
Well, people, especially like my dad's a really good thing about, like, really good example of this.
Yeah.
And this is usually predominantly men, but it doesn't have to be just men. But sometimes when you hear a problem, you're in problem-solving mode.
Yeah.
And so if someone comes to you with something to talk about, just they need to vent, they are frustrated with something, you look for ways to solve it. When really they just need someone to say, hey, I'm sorry, that sucks.
Yeah, and that's me. That's my default mode as well. And so I've had to try to teach myself how to not do that because it's not helpful to other people. But like one thing he said that kind of I thought of as I was having this realization, it kind of brought this to motion. He said like something like, oh, you have to find a way to let go of it. And obviously he didn't know what the way to let go of it was. And I just have been thinking this whole time, how do I let go of it? How do I let go? And this is it. This is the source of the problem, why it was hard to let go, and the solution. Yeah. How you let that go. You redirect the energy. And that's why, like, I've been doing the online dating and stuff. And I met this really cool guy. So hopefully...
Is he going to ask for your kidneys? No, because legit, I was on Tinder, which isn't a good idea, so don't do that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I was on Tinder, and someone says, hey, you need to have O positive blood type with both kidneys. That was their bio. And I'm just like, and here's the thing, I know that there might be a joke, because I remember like hearing something about that, like in a meme.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, because here's the thing, like, being single, you're like a nomad. Like, me and Tanner talked about this on the podcast the other day. It's just like, you're like a nomad. You have to hunt and gather for affection.
Right.
You know? Because, like, if you have a... If you're in a relationship, you can just go up to someone and you can hug them. You can kiss them. You can have sex with them. You can really do whatever you want as long as it's both consenting, you know?
Sure.
But, like, you have that person that you can do that with, you know, that you can explore parts of yourself and them. And you can, like, learn something new about someone and humanity in general. But if you're single, you can't really do that. Because, like, you have to go out and try to seek that. And try to find that.
Sure.
And so you have to, like, find... You legit have to swipe and just play Russian roulette with someone. Because what if you're talking to them, but then all of a sudden, their name is actually Paco, and they're trying to take your kidneys and rob you blind. And you're just trying to find love and a solid connection.
Yeah, it's hard because, yeah, you do invest a certain amount of energy, and then at some point you realize it's not going to work out with that particular person, and then it's like, oh, like, But I try not to look at it as wasted energy, because I was talking to this one guy, and then at a certain point, because he said, I made this great joke, he said his day was mild or something, and I was like, do you always describe how your day was in Taco Bell sauce? Like, flavors.
My day was picante.
I'm like, yeah, have you ever had, like, a Diablo day?
Diablo.
Like, you know? Yeah. And so he thought that was funny, but then he started talking about food, and I was like, yeah, I'm impossible to go out to eat with. Like, I just eat at home. Like, I eat the same shit. I'm like The Rock, where I don't put any spice or anything on it. I just am very plain. And he was like, I think that's a deal breaker for me, because food is really important to me. And I was like, okay.
There's weird things. That's a weird thing that's super important to you. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. He's like, I like to eat. I like to cook. I like to go out to eat with my girlfriend. So if you're not into that, then I can't be into you. And I was like, cool. Because I don't want to do that shit. I'm not gonna.
Well, I'm glad you're like, you didn't have to waste any time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm talking to someone and then they just like, they say one thing and I'm just like, oh, no.
You know what
you're
that is
not
for me?
It.
When I ask their interests and they'll be like, I like to watch movies and play video games. And I'm like, nope. Nope. Not for me. Because that's the things I avoid. How am I going to date somebody who's like super into that? Like, those are off limits for me.
Yeah.
You know? If they spend all their time doing that shit, that's going to be a problem.
I mean, if someone's like passionate about something, it's an instant turn on. But if it's usually passionate about Japanese cartoons, usually there's like, all right, we should probably figure out something else. Then again, I'm most passionate about a depressed person being on stage talking about dick jokes, so I can't really judge them. But I don't know, there are certain like deal breakers for me. I don't know what they are.
No, you don't. Interesting.
Just because like I've really only overly like dramatic. Like, I used to date this girl, and we just, like, went, like, we were just, like, just having a good time, but, like, because we had to go to a dance, but I'm, like, I'm not a dance or a club person.
Right.
And they were, like, and so I wasn't just, like, jumping around dancing, you know, because that's not really my thing, but I was sitting there kind of, like, vibing out to the music. I was having a good time, you know, I enjoyed being with the people, and, like, she's, like, I feel like you hate me. I'm, like, What? How? Why? And then, like, the entire, like, night was, like, or just the entire, like, time of our relationship, it was just, like, there was a new problem every single day.
Yeah, that sounds like low self-worth, dude.
It is.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can't fix that for you.
Yeah, no. Like, you can't make anyone love themselves. They gotta love themselves first. People get into relationships. I hate this. People get into relationships hoping that someone will love them so they don't have to love themselves. That's bullshit. Yeah. That's some bullshit.
No, that's 100%. Have you ever seen Daniel Sloss Jigsaw?
No.
Oh, one of my favorite comedy specials I've ever seen. It's, he's Scottish, and Daniel Sloss has a super dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
But it's essentially, like, 50 minutes of stand-up.
Okay.
But then 20 minutes of, like, serious TED Talk. It's weird. But, yeah. Like, it's funny, and he, like, does it well. It's basically Nanette if it was really good.
See, I don't know about any of these things you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't watch TV, I don't movie, you know.
So I'm referencing all comedy specials. Nanette is basically a really funny TED Talk. It was by one Hattie Gatsby. She is she's actually a very funny comic, but she's lesbian, and so she basically talked about, like, funny things about being a lesbian, and it was, like, it was funny. She's like, growing up, I knew more facts about unicorns than I did about lesbians, and there's no facts about unicorns. You know, like,
yeah.
It was funny stuff, but, like, towards the end, it's just, like, it was more like a TED Talk. It was more like a rally, you know, and a lot of people didn't like that. They were like, it's a comedy special, but a lot of people didn't think it was stand-up.
Mm.
And so she's kind of, like, turned into a brunt of the joke in the stand-up community. Although I respect it a lot. I enjoyed watching the show, but I didn't feel like I was watching stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I'd watch it again. Like, I showed it to a lot of my friends. I was just like, hey, if you... Like, this is probably something you guys would be interested in. But Daniel Sloss does that to such a high level. And it's amazing. Because, like, he's hilarious and he's dark. And he legit started off one of his specials with, I love kids. And he just, like, milked that for 5 minutes about how he loved kids. But right now, everyone's thinking pedophile.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, no, I love kids. And he was, like, talking about how he was, envious of women because, like, if he goes up to a child, that's, you know, that's not okay. But if a woman goes up to a child and, like, pets him on the head or something like that, he's just like, oh, and they're just talking. It's a lot, like, it's a lot more socially acceptable.
Yeah.
He's like, I wish I was a woman. Like, I want what she has.
Yeah.
You know? And it was funny and all that stuff, but it was such, like, a dark, like, he didn't even need to say it, and we all knew what he was getting at.
Sure.
But then towards the end, he talks about really, like, heavy stuff. Like, he talked about something called the jigsaw analogy, which is basically, if you don't love 100% of the person you're with, you don't actually love them, you just love an idea of them, and it's not fair to him or the person that you're with that those don't line up perfectly.
Hmm.
And another one is basically what we were talking about. If you should love yourself 100% of the time, because then someone else comes in and they only love you 50% of the time, then they don't love you as much as you love yourself.
Yeah.
That's not narcissism. That's just what you deserve. Because if you only love yourself 20% and someone comes in loving you 40%, you're like, oh my God, that's so much. Like, no, it's literally less than half. They love half of you. You know? So you need to learn how to love 100% of yourself. So when someone comes in, they need to love 120% of you.
Yeah.
So they have to go above and beyond the call of duty to make you feel valuable. And that was one of, like, I had a huge jigsaw analogy kick during senior year. I was telling it to my classmates.
Yeah.
I did it for my speeches in, like, Calm 1010 or something like that. You know, like, I legit was passionate about this. Like, I legit made sure, I used to do PLT, which is basically peer leadership team, which basically we just went to schools and told kids not to do drugs. Everyone was high. It's a whole thing. But one night we were just bored. So I was like, well, I could say the jigsaw analogy. And so I tell it. And my teacher did not agree with me. Because she was like, well, you don't need to love 100% of the person you're with. I was like, yes, you do. And she's like, no, I don't love 100% of my husband. And I was like, no, you do. You just don't like 100% of your husband. You can, like and love are two very different things. Because here's the thing. If you love someone truly, that means you love every bit of them. You love the hates, things that you dislike, but you love them. You know, there's a difference between like and love.
Right.
Because, like, I love my parents, but I don't always like them.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what? You're kind of a jerk, but at the same time, I'd take a bullet for it.
Sure.
And that's the whole thing. So, like, Daniel Sloss is really good at, like, making you laugh and make you think at the same time, and that's something I will get to. Where you can laugh and not at the same time. Because I've tried to do that with a couple of my bits, like when I was doing that bit up on sexual assault. That was a heavy topic.
Right.
But I was trying to add some humanity to it and not and allow people to talk about it instead of people kind of like being hush-hush about it, you know? Yeah. Because it's such a big, passionate subject for a lot of people, which is a good thing. Passion is a good thing, but sometimes passion can turn you off about some things.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think the reason that you and I get along so well, particularly having met in like the comedy space as we did and being fellow comedians, is like I do think we have very similar humor stylistically, like what we're trying to do. It's not the same, but it's similar. Like for me, like George Carlin and Louis C.K., like I admire them and what they did because they were doing social commentary. It wasn't like observational humor, like, oh, when fat people do this, ho ho. It was like a criticism of society and talking about real issues and masking it under humor, which is the best humor of all. And I think we both do that. We do it in different ways, but like today, I was writing a piece, a tutorial on how to staple your thumb like an idiot, because this morning I accidentally stapled my thumb, and so I wrote a tutorial on how to do it. Like, just, you know,
I need other people to know how to do
stupid shit that I do, you know. So no, that's interesting. But like, what's also interesting is that we're very similar in that sense. We're also very different, especially when it comes to like our attitudes on romantic love. Like we touched upon that in the last podcast, because like I'm actually going kind of towards a poly direction, and so that's very different. You're very monogamous.
So you want to date multiple people all at once?
Yes, that's the direction I'm going. Yeah.
Live your dreams, honestly. Like, here's the thing. There's no one specific way to be happy.
Yeah.
There's no one specific way to live a life. And that's why religion is pushed so heavily, because it's very like, all right, you all are different, but we're going to try to make you as same as possible.
Yeah.
All right? There's some people that walk into the restaurant that I work at, I was like, oh, they're Catholic.
Right.
They're like they're everything, you know. And I'm like, I'm watching them, and they're reading the scriptures on their phone. I'm just like, you're Catholic. Like, there's parts of that, and that's with a lot of religions.
Sure.
But just because it basically takes the individual out of it. Now, I have a lot of critiques on organized religion, but I don't hate them,
right?
Because any way you can find a way to be a happy and decent person that basically treats other people the way they would want to be treated and treats other people basically as human fucking beings, then that's a good thing, as long as you don't use that to hurt other people.
Yeah.
But then if you use a religion or an ideology to hurt other people, you're not really subscribing to that ideology entirely.
Right.
Because like, if the people that use Islam to become extremists and become terrorists, they're not actually living the truest form of Islam. And that's the same thing with, like, Catholics. Like, for, like, some of them are, like, pretty big pedophiles. Like, the, like that, the whole priest things. Like, there was, in L.A., there's 10% of the priests have allegations against them.
Yeah.
That's 1 in 10.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is.
That is insane. But that just means, because here's the thing, they are the forefront and they are the figurehead for the church in a lot of people's eyes. They're like, they look at him for salvation. They look at him for guidance.
Right.
And I forgot where I was going from.
just religion, and people believe different things, and I was talking about poly versus monogamy, and...
Oh, but yeah, no, they're not living the truest form of their gospel.
Well, watch out, guys. We're parking. It means that the conversation is going to shift dramatically, just like last time.
We've only been doing this for less than a half hour. But, interesting podcast, to say the least. But, yeah, no, there's not one way to live your life happily.
Right.
And here's the thing. A lot of religions, there's not one way to live that religion happily, because there's people don't really know. That's why, like, because if so, I could read a scripture and you could also read that same verse, and we would have completely different interpretations of what it says. And that's why there's so many different types of religions teaching out of the exact same fucking book.
Yeah.
And there's like, there's different versions of the book, obviously, but they're not that big of a difference. All basically the same general stories.
Well, and one could argue, because some people think, and I'm one of them, that all of these religions, they just spiraled off of one, because at one point all of the land masses, there was Pangaea, uh-huh. and so it's like all of these stories are the same because it's the same fucking story, just translated to different cultures.
Well, I agree with the sentiment. Pangaea was like way long ago. It wasn't like humans weren't. Well, they were around, but they weren't.
Well, but sure, religion. Sure. But okay, perhaps that was factually inaccurate. But when everyone was in Africa. Yeah. There's a period, that's where humans originated. Humans were in Africa.
Well, yeah, the Epic of Gilgamesh.
And then they used the land bridges and shit to go to other areas in America eventually.
Have you ever heard of the Epic of Gilgamesh?
Probably, but go ahead.
It is the first, I could be wrong, but this is the first recorded book ever in human history. And you can read it, and it's basically, it's very sexual and it's very bloody. But it essentially retells the story of Noah's Ark. Mm. And that I took AP World History. In that class, while he was taught by an LDS individual, that class turned me into an atheist almost. Just because I saw how basically, because a lot of people think Heru or Horus, the Egyptian god.
Sun god, right? Is he a sun god?
Ra is the sun god.
Oh, okay. Horus. But, I know who you're talking about.
There's a myth about him, of the Egyptian myth, and it basically is the modern, I mean, not a modern, it's just a retelling of the story of Jesus. It's almost after 3 days he rose up. Like, that's a whole thing. So, like, a lot of people, the religion that, if you are a part of a religion, those that are listening to this, your religion isn't the primary source, but it's basically a bunch of branches off from a bunch of different religions, and you take things from different religions and you try to implement them in yours. So that's why, like, but here's the thing: a lot of I could also use that and think that was God's plan all along. He would start this, and then he would turn into this through this whole thing because he has all knowing and he's all seeing and he can basically do whatever he wants. But this is how he would show the natural progression of things. To become that religion now.
Right.
So a lot of people know about Horus, or they know about the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is basically a modern retelling of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Well, not a modern, but the original retelling of the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible is a modern retelling of that story.
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
That's what I meant. But yeah, my brain's going a little haywire at the moment. But, so, these religions now, they're basically an offshoot of older religions,
right?
And like the four main religions were created within maybe like 1,000 years of like humanity becoming organized.
Yeah.
So like Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, like those are like the bigger ones. And Islam, like those all came from within maybe like 1,000 years of humans becoming organized.
Sure.
And people still believe them to this day. And so that's why if you ever talk to someone, like a lay audience, about a religion, they would laugh at your face. So, like, for those that are LDS missionaries, if you go to a lot of them go to different countries where they don't know anything about Jesus Christ or any religion or anything like that. And if it is, it's it varies from place to place. But I would be weirded out if someone just comes up to me and says, "Hey, do you know Jesus Christ?" I was just like, I don't. Sounds like an interesting guy. And he's just like, "Well, Jesus dies. He's the Son of God." I'm just like, "Aren't I the Son of God as well?" And he's like, "Well, he died for you." I'm like, "Oh, tell him thank you." You know, like,
yeah.
He's like, "Well, you actually need to, you owe him now. Because he died for all your sins, you can get back into heaven because of him." I was just like, "Well, I didn't ask him to do that, but thank you." He was like, "Well, you did, but you just don't remember." I'm like, "Okay, really?"
Yeah.
You know, like, all of this stuff is so strange when you hear it with a fresh set of eyes, a new perspective.
Yeah.
But as soon as, like, if you, like, grow up in that culture, you're like, "Oh, that's normal."
Right.
Like, when I was younger, like, I remember seeing someone that wasn't LDS, because I was raised LDS. I remember seeing one that wasn't LDS. I was just like, "Oh, well, he's wrong. Like, he's not. He's dumb. Because he doesn't understand this. Right. Which is a horrible thing to think, even as an 8-year-old. You know, because you're just like, oh, like, he's wrong. You know, even though I'm not even sure what I believe. But my mom and dad told me I believe it.
Right.
So it's just kind of interesting because religion can basically take away the individualism out of you. Yeah. Because you're it's all saying... Because I remember, like, saying, like, you can do it all by yourself, but God will help you with it and it'll be easier. I'm just like, doesn't that kind of, like, take it all away? Or, like... Doesn't that take, like, the goodness out of it? Well, not the goodness, but, like, the pride. Like, oh, I did this. And, like, well, that's so selfish of you. I'm just like, okay, well, like, you need to give 10% of your income to the church.
You want to know something funny about that?
Of course,
I have a friend, and his reason for why he left the church, I hope you're listening, because it's really funny, friend, that you told me this. He was like, yeah, when I was 10, my mom was like, well, you're going to have to give your allowance for tithing. And he was like, oh, I don't want to do that. So they left the church.
That is partially why I left, too, except I just wasn't okay with why. That is funny.
I think his mom just wanted to leave the church as well. And it was just like, my 10-year-old son doesn't want to give up his allowance, so we're leaving. Bye.
You did this.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great.
No, but I was raised without religion. And I just always thought religious people were weird. I didn't get it. And, but I did. I was always a spiritual person for some reason. Because when I was like 7, 8 years old, I watched a PBS special about Buddhist monks. My mom said it just came on after Barney. And I just kept watching. And I thought,
like,
it was really interesting.
Better than Barney.
Yeah, yeah. And so
Where's the dinosaurs?
I begged her to take me to a monastery. Like, or like a temple or whatever. Whatever the Buddhist. And she did. And then she would just, like, drop me off, and I would go meditate with the monks and shit, like an 8-year-old. And then she said, my mom was like, she's, like, got really freaked out because she caught me, like, in the shower, sitting under the shower, like, meditating. And she's like, oh, my God, like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, just meditating, Mom. Like,
I love that for you.
So, yeah, so I don't know. Like, I've always been a spiritual person, but, like, when I tried to go to the atheist group, like, in Utah, that's, like... It was really hard because all they talked about was how much they hate, like, Mormons. And, like, they were specifically citing stuff in the Book of Mormon. And I've never read it. And well, so...
That is the trouble with atheism.
Yeah.
Because no one... Well, actually, let me finish my thought with tithing real quick.
Okay.
Because when they say... Well, why should I give up 10% of my income and give it to a church? And they says, well, that's not really your money. That's God's money. He gave you that money. He allowed you to make that money. So that's your way of giving it back to him. I'm just like, God doesn't need my money, first of all. And that kind of takes the pride of you doing it yourself out of it. You know, like, remember the first time you did something completely by yourself? Like, when you went to the bathroom by yourself, you know, when your parents didn't help you. And you're just like, I did that. You know, like, that's pride. You know, that's like, I did this. You know, and that kind of just takes it out of it, which is why I can sometimes disagree with, well, through God, all things are possible, and if you can only go so far without that. But now let me talk about atheism. Because here's the thing. Religion can be a really great thing. It can help you become a better person. It can help you become more mindful, more peaceful individual, because you're not saying what's going to happen after I die, even though I don't really think about that anymore. But, like, for those that do. But usually a lot of atheists used to be religious, but they had a negative experience in that religion, so then they decided that all religion is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But they usually just have a hatred towards that one specific religion. You went to Utah, and so you went to one that where it was the majority was anti-LDS, anti-Mormon. Yeah. And so they're so passionate about that there is no God when they're hurt that there isn't a God. Because their entire life, they've been promised this. Then their thinking is like, oh, there isn't one and all this stuff. And supposedly God's religion hurt them in some way. I don't know what it is. But then they're just saying, I hate the Mormons so much. When here's the thing, a lot of Mormons can be great individuals. Like, some of my favorite people are LDS. And that's not just because I live in Utah. Well, partially is.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you'd meet that many other places.
Yeah, but, like, from what I hear, like, from people that are that aren't LDS, that don't know a lot of Mormons, they're like, every time I do, they're really nice, kind people. You know, like Joe Rogan even had a bit about it.
Yeah,
about being
we could
like,
talk about why that is. There's some funny things going on within the Mormon culture.
There definitely is, and there's a lot of toxic things. But yeah. That's, people aren't being focused on the gospel, or they're taking it to, because that's the whole thing. You know, like, if you take things too literally or you're too passionate about something, then sometimes you can use that religion to hurt other people.
Yeah.
Such as Islam. And when I made the connection between Catholics and pedophiles, that's just an issue in the Catholic Church. I'm not saying that too much Catholicism will make you want to diddle boys. That's not a little boys. That's not what I was trying to get at. I was just thinking. But what the fuck was I saying?
This is a good question. You went to tithing and then just kept
went
going.
Tithing and we tapped talking about atheism.
Just, I mean, yeah.
See, how long have we been recording? 45 minutes.
Okay.
Not too bad, not too bad.
Okay, yeah.
But
so.
People do, when people do become atheists, I think no, they're usually so passionate about it. Now, that's not always true. Like, with Ricky Gervais, all right? Now, I love Ricky Gervais with every fiber of my being. He's a very intellectual, very funny individual. But when he was talking to Stephen Colbert about religion, he was just so matter-of-fact about it. And he was so, he wasn't trying to argue. He wasn't angry about it. He was like, there's no God and you're stupid for thinking so. He's like, this is why I think it.
Right.
A lot of atheists are so passionate about their atheism that they kind of forget to create the empathy.
Well, was Ricky, like, was he raised in religion? Was he
raised I'm not sure.
Because I think that makes a difference, because that's why I was so disappointed when I went to the atheist group, because I was not raised with religion. I was just, like, my parents, like, had belief in God, but they just didn't tell me about it. For some reason.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, yeah, that's not real. And I would sometimes hear my parents talk about it or something, and then in my head I'd be like, that's not real. Like, they had no need to push it on me, because mm-hmm. their idea of God was really weird anyway, and it didn't subscribe to any sort of religion. And so it's really hard for me trying to relate with atheists, because it seems like they've all been in a religion, and I can't find anyone who just never was in a religion. Like, well, that seems exceedingly rare.
Well, it's just like the people that actually are atheists, they don't care.
Yeah, because it just isn't real.
Because like, you're like, all right, I just don't believe in something.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, there shouldn't be a word for, like, I don't believe in something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, it's a little strange, to say the least. And so, usually, the people, and because here's the thing, atheists aren't going to a meeting. True atheists?
I went.
Well, here, I know that, but, like, there's not going to be a group of a bunch of people. I think you were just lonely.
Yeah,
you were
trying
to find some, like, like-minded people.
Yeah,
but if, like, imagine a bunch of people that didn't believe in something got together and saying, hey, we all don't believe in people, right? Great. Let's go. Like, that's legit. No, that's Christianity. That's my whole bit. Like, that's my ending thing. If you care too much about Star Wars or, Christ, you're probably gonna buy a little too much robes. Alright? And then I just like, just think about that. Thank you. My name's Spencer Riley. Then I leave the stage. Then people clap.
Yeah.
Because they're nice. But yeah, like, no one's that passionate about true atheists. They're that passionate about it. They're just like, yeah, I don't believe in it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's
true.
It. They're like, I'm just going to try to be a good person. You know, you would do better to go to a place that has philosophers or talk about intellectuals, because they are fairly atheist.
Yeah.
You know, they're fairly agnostic.
Right? Yeah.
And I think I'm agnostic. I don't really know what I am.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
really, I'm not even going to put a label to it, just because I don't care enough to. You know, like when my mom, was going up to me, he's like, well, are you going to try to remove the records of the church? And so they strike you off, and I'm no longer a baptized member of the church. I don't care enough to.
Yeah.
Like, that's really not an issue for me.
And isn't Anne Frank on the records, too? I mean, she didn't consent to that.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, you know?
So, you know, you're in good company.
Well, yeah, I'm just like, all right, cool. Me and Anne will have a good time.
Oh,
she
God.
Was a punchline of my bit once. Yeah. I do need to work on that bit a lot because I enjoy telling it, but that World War II stuff did not. It didn't have the same. It didn't have the reaction that it did when I was telling it offstage.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll workshop that later. But yeah, no, this has been interesting for so far.
Yeah, I don't know how we got into religion because I just don't care about religion. So that was an interesting segue.
I think
to talk about something that I have no interest in.
I have no idea. We'll have to listen to it. But
it was because we were talking about the difference between poly and monogamy, and then you're like religion.
Oh, I was like, yeah, because here's the thing: there's no specific way that you can be happy. You know, like, that's not always going to work for everyone. That's why there's a million different religions and why there's a lot of happy people in these religions.
Yeah.
So there's not one specific way for someone to be happy. Like, you got some good guidelines, but, like, hey, don't be a horrible person. Don't do this. But that sometimes doesn't work for a lot of people. You know, sometimes they're plagued with that self-doubt.
Right.
But if there's not one specific way to be happy or to be a good person. So that's why monogamy or polyamory isn't that bad of a thing, as long as both people are aware that they're in a non-monogamous relationship.
Right, right.
You know? So, like, if I was dating a girl and I thought we were, like, both monogamous and we were, like, dating the same person and we're like, oh, you're my person. Hey, I'm your person. You know? Great, I love this.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I thought this was an open relationship. It turns out she was screwing two other guys. It was like, hey, that's called cheating on someone.
Right, right.
You know? But if you're both aware of the fact that you're dating multiple people and you don't want to settle down with a specific person, that's completely fine. I have no qualms with any of that.
Sure.
I don't have a right to have a qualm with that.
Sure, yeah. You can't control what other people want to do, and if they're not hurting anyone, it's fine. But, like, I find the philosophy differences in the two lifestyles interesting simply because, like, for me, and see, I resisted it for a really long time. Like, I wanted to think that I was monogamous, and I wanted, like, just for a really long time. But it's always made me uncomfortable. Like, I've never wanted to be like this person, like, oh, you're my boyfriend or you're my girlfriend or what. Like, that always made me feel like, oh, gross. The only thing I could say is I'm in a relationship with this person. Like, the ownership of a person made me feel really gross, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know why I say this is my person, but
yeah,
I don't say my person. It's my person. It's my person.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, there's clearly, like, a strong affinity, like, there's an identity, there's a sense of identity, and, like, wanting to, like, togetherness, and we, and, like, this, and that mm-hmm. makes me very uncomfortable. Like, you're super comfortable with that. Like, even just in friendship, you'll be like, we, as comedians, and we, like, and you're all about that, and then it's like, I was surprised. I was like, wow, like, he, like, is really about bringing people together, and, like,
this sense of community. I do believe there's a huge sense of community that I think when people are in a dark spot, it's because they don't feel like they have a strong enough sense of community. And that's one, okay, I'm going to bring this back to religion, but
oh,
that's
my God.
One good thing about religion. It does create a community.
Yep.
You know?
Cause no, like, I agree.
A lot of people, like, go on every Sunday dressing up in their finest clothes or decent clothes, and then they basically go see everyone in the community, and you go talk about Jesus for an hour, but it's, a lot of people don't go for Jesus, kind of just to see the people you're going with. You know, you're seeing the, you know, you go for the barbecues, you go for, you know, kind of seeing everyone, talking about sports. You know, my parents, they all go to Broadway shows with the ward. You know, they get, like, legit 50 couples, and they all go see the show together, you know? And that's a sense of community, you know? Gives you a baseline friend group, almost.
Right, no, and that's what people, I don't think, understand about being culturally Jewish. Because I'm Jewish, but I'm culturally Jewish. I'm not religiously Jewish, mm-hmm. culturally Jewish. Like, that's in my family bloodline, my history. There are the people that, you know, in my family in the past that were injured because they were Jewish. And it's like, that's a sense of cultural identity that I have. And so it's like, I have this shared culture with all of these people. Do I believe in Jewish shit? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. But I have this shared identity and history with people, and it creates the sense of community. So, yeah, I definitely get the appeal of religion and stuff. And with the open mics, I feel like that's a great community. I have a sense of community from there.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that's a very strong sense of community. It's really improved my life and helped me to develop as a person. If I didn't have that, I don't think I would be where I am right now.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and I think that's with any I will say the open mic community is very accepting.
Yes.
And whenever I hear, like, stories about comedians doing open mics when they were starting out, I always hear horrible stories. And granted, I have my fair share of them, with having to follow RJ or Willie or, like, that stuff. I have my fair share of them, but I do enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know, I do enjoy the people that I've met. I do enjoy talking to Curtis. I do enjoy talking to, you know, like, Zach and Sean. You know, I'd love to... I impersonated him the other day.
You're so good. You have to do that bit.
I'll do it one of these days.
Yeah.
But...
Just be ready for your voice to be raw.
Legit, after 32 bars of a Sean-esque song, my voice was like...
his voice is fine after.
Well, yeah, it's probably because he does it so much. But yeah, no. Each individual person at that mic is a completely different person.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I walk in there with my, like, pea coat and my beanie and my, like, weird glasses, you know. Yeah. I look like a blogger, you know.
Yeah.
But then, like, Lee comes in there with, you know, like, her sweats and her dreadlocks, and she's just, like, having a good time.
Yeah.
We're both enjoying it. We're both having a good time, you know. And, like, Curtis goes in there looking like a school shooter, you know. And it's, like, Sean has, like, the wavy, like, slicked back.
Yeah, he slicks his hair. Sometimes he wears, like, there was, like, a tie and shit because he got off work. I mean, damn.
Yeah, then, like, Sean looks like he just got off of fucking someone at all times. She's like, what's up, man? I'm just happy to be here. I'm like, who are you? And, yeah, it's, like, it's always, Noah's always, like, wearing the... looking like he just got out of the gym, even though we both know he does not go into the gym. He has a bit about not going to the gym. You know, like, there's so many different kinds of people at that place, but at the same time, we're all together and celebrating the freest form of art.
Yeah.
And that's very profound.
It is.
And that's very special that we are able to experience this, you know? Once a week, you know, we all go, and some people are having the crepes, and sometimes there's a kid there that should not be there. And then there's
people shout into the microphone really loud and hurt our ears.
Sorry.
Not you. When they're like, oh my God.
And then Lee,
tone it down.
For those that are listening, Lee is very great. She did stand up the other night, but she always has this song about, I don't know, but every time I've seen it, I don't know what to think afterwards, and it's the strangest thing.
I do interpretive dancing alongside
it. Yeah, she does interpretive dancing. I have several videos of it from several camera angles. It's a good time, and it's basically like, I just remember, it sounded Dave Matthews-esque. Like, I thought I was about to listen to, like, Don't Drink the Water or Crash Into Me. But then it's just Lee saying, like, I can't consent. Your intention was to fuck. I'm like, oh boy, this is fun. And then, like, the first half of it's really, like, hard hitting. And then the rest, she's just listing off numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? But every time I've seen it, I'm just like, what is going on?
That's what happens when you take drugs, kid.
Don't doubt that at all. Because apparently an angel gifted her that song.
Okay.
That's what she told me, and I'm just like,
that's a great context.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
But yeah, community. I like community, but, like, I mean, I'm always, you know, I pull back from the community, even that community. Like, when all the stuff happened, and I spoke out about they were going to ban somebody, and I spoke out about it, like...
It was Willie. We talked about that on the second episode of the podcast.
Okay, well, when all that happened, I mean, because I feel like whenever I see groupthink, like, I'm always kind of outside of it, like it just makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, anything people are all agreeing with something, I'm like, stop it, no individuality. Like, I'm so super big on individuality. So, like, I don't know, it's interesting, your sense of community and wanting to create a we, because I'm so resistant to that. I'm like, no, I'm my own person, get away. Like, but it's interesting to see the opposite.
Yeah, well, there are extraordinary things that can happen when everyone's in an individual, but they are together. You know, like, it's a great... That's why I've always, like, enjoyed doing improv. You know, just because every single person has a different thing they can add to the scene, and you say yes and, You know, you mm-hmm. say, I accept what you're trying to put in. Let me add something to that. You know, then we can create something new that is never going to happen again. And that's never happened before. Mm. And that's really cool about that. And I love that. But that's just because here's the thing. If I did improv with myself, we would always end up talking about Epstein. Every time. You know, we would go on and, like, sometimes we would have different, but at the end of the day, we'd be like, Epstein.
Yeah.
You know, just because I'm me. But, like, me and you collaborating and doing something improv-like, that would be great.
Yeah.
You know, just because it'd
like
be different.
Rap battle.
And that would 100%. Let's do it, yeah.
I'm going to do that with my drug dealer Sunday.
You need to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Every time we do it, we would do something different. Because yeah. our brains are in different spots.
Yeah, no. That's what was so cool about that. Like, it's exactly what you're talking about. Togetherness, mm-hmm. right? Because, like, they were collaborating. I like watching people collaborate, like, just on the spot, create mm-hmm. shit. Like, that's what I love about the open mics, like, the jam sessions that happen when people aren't on stage, when they're just practicing. That's
oh,
my
yeah,
favorite
thing.
Oh, yeah, like,
the 10 minutes right before the mic and
yeah.
everything's set up, then all of a sudden they're just, like...
They're jamming, like, making their own shit. Those moments are so magical, dude.
Yeah.
I wish I could play music thing.
Lauren, it's not too bad.
No,
it's
I
not,
can't.
It's hard, but it's not hard, you know? Yeah, no, it's incredible what happens when... What can happen when no one cares who gets the credit?
Mm.
You know, just kind of seeing something play out.
Just vibing.
Yeah, just vibe check all the time. And it's just cool. You know, so like when I'm seeing the community, I'm seeing a bunch of people giving towards that community, but not being just the community.
Mm.
You know, like... I'm not sure if this is Ayn Rand, but like where she says you need to make yourself the best possible, so then society gets better, you know? Like you need to create something for yourself, and then other people can benefit from that. Well, like the light you don't need to dim your light for the sake of others, or just for so people don't feel as self-conscious, or just because if everyone's at a level 2. And you like to be at a level 3, that constant, like, you don't need to go down, everyone else needs to go up and follow you,
you know? Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, but I like the idea of vibing, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do with relationships, because I think in the past, I like to fit shit in a certain way, and I'm like, here's the expectations, here's how everything should go. No, just...
Well, yeah, no, you gotta
just let go.
You gotta let go of all control.
Yeah, yeah, that's so
because
hard.
Here's the thing, like, the ideal relationship in my eyes
yeah.
is I am the person I am, and I love myself completely.
Yeah.
But someone comes in, and there's certain things that I'm not happy about myself, but they have.
Right.
And I'm really great in certain aspects, and she isn't great in certain aspects, but she's amazing at certain aspects, and I'm not great at certain aspects. You know, we're both. We're fully formed people, but we're imperfect. And we constantly push each other to be better in those areas.
Sean told me something so interesting a few weeks ago. He said, it seems like in all of the relationships he's been in, the problem was that people liked him for who he was when he was single. And then once he was in the relationship, he changed to please them. And then he no longer was the person that they originally liked him as single because of how he changed in the relationship.
Yeah. No. That's yeah. That's a huge thing. Like some... You should never get into a relationship saying, oh, well, I can change that about them. Or, oh, well, I just won't show that side of myself. No, because that's when you're going to start to push things down. That's when you're not going to enjoy yourself. And, like, it's not when you're going to be the person that you actually are. You know, because if I'm constantly playing a character for someone in my relationship, I'm going to get bored.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get annoyed. Because I say something that I would say instead of this version that, like, oh, well, you don't like that. I do like that. I just don't want to talk to you about how I like this. You know, like, let's say I loved... Like, imagine I got into a relationship and someone was like, you know what? I don't really like stand-up comedy. Because that's happened before.
Yeah,
a girl legit, she liked me throughout the majority of high school and all this stuff. And one time we were just talking and she's like, I don't get stand-up. I'm just like, okay, well, let me show you some really great guys.
Yeah.
And I show her Rogan, I show Chappelle, I show Mulaney, like, just, like,
yeah.
the basics good comedians. You know, I show her Hedberg, Murphy, Chris Rock, like just like the classics. And she's just like, I don't get it. Stand-up's boring. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay. But yeah. That's just, like, I remember one time she's like, oh, you do stand-up? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, cool. You know, and she wasn't doing it to be rude.
Interesting.
But she wasn't like, I don't like that part of you.
That's so interesting.
But she keeps asking me out on dates. I'm like, okay. You so reject a huge side of me but here's the thing, she's only seeing what she wants to see in me.
Mm.
Because she's also really religious, and I left, and I was quite loud about leaving. Because it was a really big deal at my dad's house, so I...
Yeah.
So she kept thinking that I was trying to tempt her with certain things, when I was just living my life. I remember...
You were the bad boy.
In her eyes, I was a temptation. I was basically the devil, you know? And so she's always... people see in you what they want to see.
Yeah.
And so that's unfortunate, because they're not actually seeing who you are. They're just seeing their idea of you.
Or I would say that they see in you what they want to be.
That could also be it, too.
Because I'm drawn to people who, like, with characteristics of which I wish that I possess.
Yeah.
I'm not attracted to people with, I hate all of your characteristics. Those suck. Like, no. I want those characteristics for myself.
Okay. I see that. Because, like, whenever you ever, like, my dad always says you're a combination of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah,
which is incredibly true. So, like, if you surround yourself with super ambitious people that are going somewhere, that are constantly working towards their goals and achieving, you know, small short-term goals, so that's going to contribute to the big picture in the future, then you'll be doing the same thing. But if you're going to people that are partying every weekend, that just want to go get drunk, want to just go get fucked up, or just kind of sit around, waste their Saturdays, waste just days, like, days that you can be working or a day that you can be bettering yourself for just short-term fun, you're going to be doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's why, like, with the movies and the video games, people, they say they're interested in that. I cut them off immediately because it indicates to me that they're into escapism. Like, if those are their main interests, they're escaping life. They're not living their life, and I don't want to be involved with them.
That's
like, even friendships. Like, if you're escaping your life all the time, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do those things with you.
Yeah, and let's say you do, like, enjoy those things. It doesn't mean that you can enjoy those things, because there is a certain amount of escapism that is nice.
Just in moderation.
Just in moderation.
Can't be your focus.
But say, hey, what do you do most days? I like sleeping in. Okay. What do you do when you're awake? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do when... Another thing, what do you do when no one's watching? Because I know you're masturbating, but, like, is that the only thing? You know, like, wait. I remember, I think I heard this in an actual, like, general conference or something. Like, I remember it was LDS-based, but it was just, like, what do you think about when there's nothing to think about? That's who you are.
Hmm.
You know? Like, how do you treat people when no one's looking?
Yeah.
You know, how do you think when no one's listening? You know?
Mm.
Because, like, let's say we're just, like, at the open mic, and all of a sudden me and you were hanging out, we're having a good time, then you go and do your thing, and then all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, man, Ruby annoys the hell out of me. And I talk about someone, and then we just basically just dish on you for about 5 minutes. You come back, and it's like, oh, my God, Ruby, how you doing? Like, it's completely fine. It's a two-faced bitch, and that's not a nice thing at all. Or, like, if I'm super nice to someone's face, but then all of a sudden, as soon as they leave, I'm just like, oh, thank God they're gone.
Yeah.
That's fairly rude. And at the same time, why are you hanging out with that person to begin with?
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to surround yourself with people that you want to be more like, you know? And anyone else is only going to bring you down.
And it just happens organically, too. I never knew that it could. Like, I never thought that you and I would become such good friends. I never thought I'd become such good friends with Lee. Like, all this shit just progressed naturally, and it was weird because I never even thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people, I'm like, I really wish I could be your friend. Other people, I just don't think about it.
And then you end up
being really good friends with them.
I think whatever you put out into the universe, it can kind of happen for you.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't know if that's a religious thing. I don't know if that's just the way the universe works, or just maybe you're just subconscious actively creating things for you. You know, yeah. You're just your monkey brain just being like, mm-hmm. all right, that's good. You need to become more like that when you're not actively trying to do that. But there's just certain people you just click with.
Right.
You know, and then there's certain things that just happen because they materialize in front of you.
Right.
And that's the cool thing. You know, that's usually the best relationships or the best friendships, the ones that you don't really try to make happen.
Yeah,
because the relationship that I was talking about towards the beginning of the podcast that I would, like, drop everything for, I was constantly trying to make something. I was constantly, like, seeing that person. I was like, hey, I start a conversation. You know, let's find a way to keep this conversation going.
Yeah.
With you, I've never had to make keep a conversation going.
Right.
As with Tanner and every person that I value in my life, I never run out of things to talk about because we're having intellectual or just fun conversations.
Or even just some friends you just sit with.
Yeah. And like you're just kind of hanging out.
And there's no problem. Like me and Zach, like, we don't always have anything to say. Sometimes we just sit there and stare at each other. Yeah. But like, it's chill.
and that's fine.
Yeah.
But there's some people that, and sometimes me, is just like where you're trying to force something.
Yeah.
And that's never a relationship that you're going to have. You're never going to get a whole lot out of. You're going to learn a lot in that relationship because you're going to realize that there's some people that you can't give them your energy when they're not ready to either receive it or make something out of it.
That's so true. And, like, in my experience, I've realized in letting go, like, this relationship with this person that I was struggling with, I kind of just let go of it. And I kind of just, because I was always worried, like, oh, am I doing too much? Or, oh, like, how are they going to respond to this or that? And then I finally was like, I'm just going to do what I want and I'm not going to worry about it. And things have been going better now, smoother, because all of that overthinking, all of that, like, oh, I want to say this, but I'm not going to because I'm afraid it will be this or that. Like, once I just stopped doing that.
Yeah. No, like, this girl I was crazy about, like, junior year, like, I said something.
Yeah.
But I was so nervous about saying something that I always said something that meant too much. If that makes any sense. Like,
yep.
I would say, I remember, like, you remember, there was this meme. It was just John Cena. It was basically him just like, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
You know? And she said something like, she said something that wasn't entirely true.
Yeah.
And then she followed that with, and I'm single. You know? Mm. And to the first thing that she said, I was said, are you sure about that? But it came after she said, and I'm single. So we had gone on a date at that point. So I was freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, does she think that I think we're dating? No. And so I text her like an email long text just saying, hey, I know I was just making a joke and all this stuff. And she was just like, dude, you're literally fine.
Yeah.
I didn't think any of that. I think of it now. But that was the whole thing because I was put so much value
attention.
On what I was saying, too much attention to what I was saying.
Like scarcity. Like, it's all the scarcity thing. And then you let it go and you're like, I can find that other places. I don't need it from this person. And then it's like, oh.
And then you care so much. And then you see, because, like, I remember with this person, I put so much on them.
Yeah.
And then they eventually were like, hey, he's nice. He's a good person. But he's just not, like, he's just, there's a lot of stuff he needs to deal with. You know, and there that was true. You know, there was so much insecurities that I had to deal with that I wasn't ready to love another person. I was in fucking junior year in high school. You know, it's not exactly like that's emotional maturity. You know, and I was already fucked up from a whole wide range of things. So it was just interesting because I put so much gravity into a single phrase that a normal person wouldn't even think about.
Yeah. And that's the guys, that's the artificial self-created scarcity theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. That's the whole theory. You guys.
Well, yeah, it's just if you can find, cuz I do remember when I first started doing comedy, I was a slave to the identity of a comedian, even though I wasn't a comedian yet. I remember thinking, like, oh, well, a comedian wouldn't do that. Then I realized, well, would I do it? All right, then a comedian would do it because I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
You know? But I remember when I say us comics or us this, I did put a label on something because I feel like without labels or without identities, people are aimless. You know, that's why you need to have a purpose.
You can't get laid as easily.
Can't get as laid as easily.
Yeah, that's I've been using too. That I'm a comedian. It's working.
Yeah? Yeah. I remember, like, I tell people that, but, like, I always, like, do it, like, begrudgingly, you know, just like... I'm a comedian.
Yeah, the guys are always like, you're so brave. I wish I could do that. And I'm just like, I fucking embarrass myself on stage, dude. It's not something to be proud of.
100%. You know, like, this girl, she's just like, oh, I do stand-up. And she's like, wait, do you mean, like, writing jokes and then telling them in front of people every... I mean, I'm just like, yeah. And she's like, that is so cool. I'm like,
it's nothing.
Yeah. I know. But, like, I'm, every Sunday, I'm the happiest I could be, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's... Just because I'm doing something that I love and I'm able to do it in a space that it's fairly safe, you know?
Yeah.
It's safe as it can be without, I mean, and that's one, okay, that is one thing I do like about Greenhouse Effect.
Yeah.
Is that everyone there is so different that it's a community, but it's not the group. You know, I don't think there could be a hive-minded Greenhouse. And honestly, what happened with Willie was more or less just... Because here's the thing. I was uncomfortable with him, too.
Mm.
And with what he was saying was true, then I would be okay with him being not allowed to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with just the harassment and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I got that. The only thing that I had issues with was just RJ saying why he was doing it.
Right.
That was the only thing. I was just like, this just sounds self-congratulatory. It sounded like he was masturbatory, you know. You're just like,
yeah.
I'm great. I needed to come forward and do this, you know. And we, you know, that's what I came to the conclusion of. But with Greenhouse, we all have different ideologies and different ways of viewing things, especially.
I think there's a very big blue bias there. You can't go up and say conservative shit. People aren't gonna like that. Can't, you know? So.
You
there
can.
Is a hive mind, a little bit.
You can, but I don't know if that's... I feel like that's more of a political hive mind.
Yeah, there's
but
a
everyone
political
there is,
hive mind, yeah.
Yeah, I could
for
see
sure.
that for sure. But...
And being a more moderate person, sometimes it's kind of like, could I say this or not?
Yeah. And I will say, like, my humor is dark, but I don't think it's offensive.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, you're good. I mean, and I think you're pretty liberal, so I don't think that you have... anything to worry about.
Yeah. Well, it's just like in general, you know, like, because I was laughing at something today, but because, like, we were, I was in my anthropology class for this course I'm taking, and I'm covering up the mic.
Oh, no.
But in this course I was taking, and there's a guy who was behind me. He wanted everyone to know that he was funny, which I'm really glad I'm not there anymore, because I know I'm funny.
Yeah.
So I can just be me, and I make a joke and people laugh and I'm like, cool. But that's not like, oh, this and this, you know, like, it wasn't like I need everyone to know about it. And that's something I've learned since high school, so if you went to high school with me, I'm sorry. But this guy, he kept like making jokes for everyone to know that he was being funny.
Yeah.
Which was interesting because no one was laughing. And this the professor was like, you're going to need to do a case study on a group. But I just want you to be safe. You know, like if you're doing something on those that suffer from substance abuse, don't actually take substances. You know, like she was like saying someone did a study at the road home and she ended up getting raped. I was like, oh.
Yikes.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
And he was just like, did you get the A, though? You know? And I'm just like, shit. Okay. Because, like, I thought it was, like, funny, but, like, not the time. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, because, like, all the girls were just like, are you kidding me? I'm just like, she probably won a lawsuit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, she probably got enough money for her therapy, you know, and that was it. But he said the joke and he was just like, I should probably put away my joke, my brand of humor then. I'm just like, Okay.
Time and place.
Time, yeah. Like, you choose the audience a little bit. Because here's the thing, like, I don't tell jokes in front of my family. Mm. And it's never like, oh, well, they don't get my brand of humor. They don't. But, like, it's just, one, they wouldn't think it's funny. And every time I have, I felt stupid afterwards because I knew it wouldn't land, but I sold it anyway. Mm. You know? Like, some, a lot of times, like, my humor is just me saying untrue shit. And then that's funny.
Yeah.
You know? But it's so untrue that it is funny. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I always wear a black t-shirt and jeans. And so one day I was, like, shopping with my family, and I go up to my stepmom and just like, you know what, I decided to dress up today just for you. And she's like, you're wearing the same thing as you usually do. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And moved on. And she was just so disenchanted with me as a person, but, like, that's just, like, not a humor that they usually get.
Right.
That sarcasm. So it's not a good, great idea for me to say that stuff, because sometimes, like, I used to, like, say a phrase like, I'll kill you, you know? But it wasn't like, I'll kill you. It was just like, you're going to die, you know? It was, like, more playful and funny, but they never got that brand of humor. So it was, my dad was thinking, he's going to kill someone.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember the day my dad told me what was funny and what was not. Because I remember, like, being on a vacation, and it was just my stepmom and my dad, and we were just talking, and I remember my actual mom goes up to me one day, is like, what would you ever do without me? And I remember hearing a joke somewhere, I think it was Chad Daniels, but I just kind of repeated it.
Why would she ask you that? That's a, like, fucked, what would you, up ever, question.
It is a really fucked up question. I'm glad we agree.
Mom is never like, what would you do without me? But you know what? My mom is always, like, telling me about her in insurance money for when she dies. She tells me how much it is and how much I'm gonna get, and she's like, so when I die you get to collect that, like if I get murdered or something.
And I'm like, Mom, you don't want me to tempt me right now, Mom. I'm in debt right now. I'll kill you without a second thought. But yeah, I remember saying, like, yeah, you know what my mom told me the other day? And she's like, what? You know, because sometimes we just like to, like, we were getting to that age where, like, I could talk about my mom freely, and he could talk about the divorce freely, you know, and his feelings, and I wouldn't hold it against my mom.
Yeah.
So I was just like, Mom, you know what my mom said the other day? He's like, what? He's like, what would you ever do without me? And I was like, go to the cemetery once a year? And I loved that joke. Because here's the thing. I knew it was funny because it wasn't my joke. That was one thing. I was just like, it was on a comedy album. It got laughs. I laughed my butt off when I heard it. I can say this and it'll get a reaction. But one thing that I didn't know is that my stepmom, her first husband, died from cancer.
Shit. You fucked up.
You fucked. And that was a 5-minute awkward silence. And then it was about an hour, because we were in LA traffic. And it was in about an hour conversation about what's funny and what's not. And she's like, you just need to be more like Ellen. Ellen is so, she doesn't even bag on anyone else. I'm like, but she's also bathing in the blood of the virgins. Like, what is she doing? I don't know. Like, she's fucking Illuminati levels type shit, you know? But I don't know. But then she's like, you need to be more like Bill Cosby. You know, because he didn't need a curse. He wasn't that dirty. And I was just like, he rapes people. I should be more like Cosby. And then Curtis said the other day when I told that story, he's like, I think he gave you a free pass. I was like, no.
Yeah, there you go.
That was funny. Oh. But yeah, it's just, humor is so subjective. But you kind of got to choose your audience, you know? Like, I wouldn't tell my Trump-loving material to Greenhouse.
Yeah.
I don't have Trump-loving material, but if I did, I wouldn't say it there.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, I have a bit about how old people shouldn't vote. I haven't done it yet, because I'm afraid of what it'll do to society. It'll probably start a revolution, but
I did do the insulin-resistant movement joke the other day, and people laughed, so that was good. I was really worried about that. I was worried some fat girl in the audience is going to be like, hey, you're being fat phobic. I'm like, bitch, I'm fat. What the fuck?
I'm really mad that my my joke didn't get the laugh. It was just like me making fun of fat people. It was like Michael Jackson saying the N-word.
Yeah.
Not really part of the group anymore, but I still have the pass.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't land. I don't think
that people believe you, possibly. You need a picture of you as fat.
And I'm just like, right, look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, you have to have proof. You have to have receipts, or people are just going to think you're like a tall, skinny guy pretending he was fat, you know?
Who's like, I used to be fat once.
They're like, whatever, motherfucker.
People also like... called me the N-word in front of me, and I don't like that word, but I think I have the pass now. Like that, no, stop it. Because like there's always that one guy that like tries to make him seem more like of the people.
Yeah.
And so he just says like, I was bullied as a kid. You weren't bullied as a kid, dude. He's just like, he's trying to seem more human.
That's another thing on OkCupid, on dating apps. If I see them use the N-word, I swipe immediately. Like, no, don't want, you know, N-word being Netflix. Nope.
I was like, who is saying the N-word on a dating app?
There's so what are many you on? People talking about the N-word. I'm like, holy shit.
I'm just like,
everyone's like, then I it's love Netflix the Office. Comedy. I'm like, nope.
There is something to be said. I'm not saying do this all the time, but there is something to be said about watching a shitty movie, just cuddling with the person that you really care about. You know?
I want
just
to...
sitting here. And, like, it's not sexual. It's not like, oh, we're going to fuck after this. It's just being with them, you know? And just, like, holding, like, sometimes, like, they're just, like, your arm around them, you know, and you're breathing in sync. It's beautiful.
You want to know an alternate moment. To that? That's really what? Cool. Is they have movie nights at the pool. And you can go swimming and watch Jaws or The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, but you don't get to cuddle with someone. If you do, they're probably, you know, very fat old men that have reesty hogs. And I'm not sure if I want to be part of that
just
group
saying,
quite yet.
Just saying, be active, be active.
You can do that too,
watch
but...
watch a fucking movie? No.
Don't, okay.
I'm not saying
do it every night.
Never. You know? Don't ever do
no,
it.
No, you can do it once. No. Moderation and all no. things, Ruby.
Okay, you got me.
Yeah.
Okay. Once in a lifetime, and then that's
once in a lifetime. I hate joy.
You pick your movie carefully, and then that's it.
They're like, oh, this will be a great movie. Oh no, that's but Kevin Spacey in it. Come on.
12 Years a Slave. That would be awkward. That's the one movie we watched together, me and my boyfriend.
No, there's something nice about it because it's not so much watching the movie. It's just about being with someone and being content, just being there. You know.
Yeah.
Because there didn't have to be a movie on. That wouldn't matter. Really? You know, I could just turn off the TV and we could just be cuddling right there.
See, that's what that's I would great. Do. That's
yeah. Instead but of you could movie. Also have the movie on and there would be no difference.
Arguable. I get you, though. Mm.
But then again, most times I'm just like, all right, do you want to watch a TV show or stand-up?
You're probably one of those annoying people that talks during movies, aren't you?
No, unless if we're, like, having an actual conversation.
Because I've watched movies with people when I did who just fucking start talking, and I'm like, bitch!
Well, like, every once in a while, like, it depends. And if it's a really bad movie, like a horror movie that's just like, oh, no, they're fucking, wait, no, they're dead! Like, it's just, like, horrible, like, horror movie tropes. Sometimes I like roasting it. I'm just like, girl, why are you, like, I like being, what's that, like, black person stereotype where they, like, yell at the movies? I love doing that.
Oh, have you ever watched a sex scene with, like, in a movie with your family?
Oh, yeah, no.
What happens?
My dick has never been softer.
Isn't that so weird?
Yeah.
What happens in your family? What does your family do?
We're like, the first time it happened in my mom's house, they looked at the rating just to make sure that I wasn't going to be seeing any titties. I'm just like, okay. But no, you don't move, all right? It's like that part of Jurassic Park, you know, where you can't move or else they're going to see you. Because if you move at all, you're going to be like, they're going to lunge. You know, they're like, oh, pervert. I don't know. You just don't want them to think. Or you can, like, be apologetic. Like, oh, my God. And we're like, we're all adults
here.
They
do that?
Huh?
Your family's done that?
A couple times.
Oh, interesting.
On my mom's side. My dad's side, we just... One time we were watching the very first Iron Man.
Yeah.
And within the first 5 minutes, like, you just see Robert Downey Jr. and a reporter just start going at it.
Yeah.
And then for, like, maybe 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad just turned it off.
Oh, okay.
And then we watched a bad documentary.
My family sits in silence, and then if it goes for longer than 2 or 3 seconds, someone will be like, wow, this scene is going on a really long time. And then everyone else will, like, laugh, and then we'll just sit, continue to watch it and be like, thank God. Like, when it goes off, like, we just awkwardly narrate how awkward it is.
Well, here's the thing with me. Like, I just watch it, and I'm just like, I usually see, like, all right, I'm never turned on by a sex scene in a movie. Unless if I'm watching it for the purpose of being turned on.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, if I'm just watching something and they're, like, everything's out. And you're just like, alright. Cool.
Yeah. Have you seen Mulholland Drive?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. I watched that with my dad when I was, like, 9 or 10. And like, full-on titties and, like, lesbian sex in it. It was weird.
And you're like,
he didn't seem to see a problem with it either. That's the weirdest part. He was just like, I'm fine with my 9, 10-year-old daughter watching porn with me. I was like, all right.
God damn.
So, I think that's a good note to end on.
I think so, too. Honestly, I feel like that was like a half-hour podcast, but that's legit an hour and a half. We're almost going to be hitting an hour and a half in about 2 seconds. But boom. All right. So, if you've listened through the entire thing, we appreciate you as a person, and you deserve nothing but love and support. Tanner should be back next week, and we do have a date for the roast that we're going to record it. Then it should be out about a week later. We're probably looking at about the end of January is probably when we're going to be dropping it. So, you're welcome. It's going to be good. I wrote a couple of them, and I've only, like, ran one of them by Tanner just to make sure he doesn't get offended by it, because he's gotten offended by a roast like that in the past.
Sensitive.
Which, yeah, I'm just, like, want to make sure he's not too sensitive about it. But he basically says, as long as you're not trying to, like, hurt me to get something off your chest, you know? Like, if I had something, just like, you know what? Tanner's going to be bald by the age of 25 and I'm mad about it. Then I just say that just because I'm angry at it. Then that's an issue. But that's not a roast. It's just being a dick. Like, being genuinely offended or something like that. So, I'm excited for it. And we got some good people on it. We're probably going to have them on before the podcast. Like, each individual one, just so you can kind of know who they are.
Or
they're going to be on at some point.
Yeah.
I'd have you roast them, but you don't know Tanner at all.
Yeah, he refuses to talk to me.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't really respond to normal, like, random numbers texting and threats.
Well,
I remember talking to him about that. He's like, did Ruby text you? And he's like, no. I'm just like, well, apparently she said she did, where she threatened your life. And she's like, yeah, I get a couple of those a day, so I don't really want to respond to them.
I revoked the threat after he complimented me on one of the podcasts, and he never responded. I thought, like, hey, man, I'm not going to kill you anymore. Like, you should be happy. No. He was not happy.
Well, he doesn't know you.
Let's change that.
Well, I would have... He was having a... I think he's sick.
Okay. Well, in the future, let's change that.
Yeah, I'm always down.
Okay.
But yeah, no, we'll get you. But yeah, no, thank you so much for listening. If you're not already subscribed, please do that. It'll basically just download it for you. If you've missed an episode, rewatch it. And if you're just want to walk through memory lane, listen to another episode, because they're fun. All right? And I enjoy it. All right? And we can actually... If you want us to talk about a certain thing or have a certain person on, just let us know and we'll try to make that happen, of course. And if you want us to do a certain thing, let me know and I'll probably tell you to go fuck yourself. But, because I remember someone that you know said that we should have had a specific topic about our podcast.
My mom.
Yeah, I knew it was your mom. I just didn't want to say, your mother said this.
It's okay, she doesn't care.
But yeah, no, I was just like, topics are
for
losers.
My mom's like, it's a good podcast, but it'd be better if you had a topic.
No, topics are for losers. No, but yeah, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And also, just send the podcast to everyone. Basically, put it on your Instagram or anywhere like that and just say, hey, for every listen they get, they won't dropkick a Chromebook. You know, one of those, like, Google laptops that you get at the schools. Because I remember when I used to see a girl with a bare shoulder, I would see those, I would see it, and I would immediately have to dropkick a Chromebook, you know? Just because dress code is very important to me. And so for every person you say, hey, you should listen to this, I won't dropkick a Chromebook. How does that sound? Woo. This is legit 3 minutes of just me saying, listen to the podcast more. But yeah, no, we do new episodes every week, Friday at noon. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And yeah, goodbye. Say bye.
Bye.
She didn't mean it.